started with, so I'm pregnant. I know you guys, but I needed to tell you. So, yeah. this isn't just good eating. So this pregnancy is like completely, they say every pregnancy is different, but this is, no. This is like light years different. And I have 4 children, so I know the ropes, but this is not like your normal. And all, everything is good and going very beautifully, no complications whatsoever, but it's just harder. And that's because there's like 2 people up in here. So the thing, yeah, that's what Mama Millie thinks is one. I've been having all these like just struggles and things that are normal for pregnancy, right? Completely normal. But the Lord has been working with me with regards to the fact that I don't have to take normal. And so it all started one day. I'm getting in the car, or trying to, and to lift one leg up, there's ligament pain and muscle, all this stuff, just pain, okay? So I'm having pain, I'm getting in the, you know, car, like I'm like this, and I feel like that too. And I'm starting to just like well up with tears because I'm like, my God, I'm like now 31 weeks, and I've been dealing with this actually since like 23 weeks. I've been measuring 2.5 months ahead the entire pregnancy. That is not normal. That's normal for twins. That's not normal for a singleton baby. So anyway, and it's heavy. I'm 4'10", as you guys can see. I'm very lanky and all. So I have nowhere to grow but out. But as I'm getting in the car, I'm feeling like just the stress of, my God, I'm feeling this now, and I have, you know, forever to go. How am I going to do this? And I'm starting to just kind of like stress and feel overwhelmed and all. I feel like at times, like, my back is just going to just break. Forget, give out. It's just going to just crack and all. And as I'm doing that, I heard the Lord say to me, what are you looking at? And I was like, oh, not you. And I was like, okay, I get it. So it was a matter of like shifting gears and focusing on Him, because we sometimes like to allow life to take the place of His word. Whatever we see is what we feel takes like precedence, and that is not how we are to live. We don't have to live like that. And so that's what He's teaching me through this. And so there are moments that I can't stand, or I can't be upright, just period, for a very long period of time. And that just varies from day to day, moment to moment, whatever. So I started to use those moments where I have to lie down on my side and I'm just talking to Him. And even when I'm like crying and because of the pain, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is ridiculous. Did you forget how tall I'm not? You know, and all that, I just start to thank Him, because I'm like, Lord, I thank you for this. Yes. I thank you for this opportunity, because not many even get this, you know, get the singleton experience, let alone this. Like, and it's just so extraordinary and all. And so I'm thanking Him. And as I'm lying on my side, I'm thanking Him. I realized, like, every bit of the pain that I was feeling was gone. Like, I feel like a completely normal person in that moment. And so I'm just like, okay. And so then there was another time where I was, I'm trying not to remember. I will tell a half story in a minute. So I'll just skip, because I don't even know what I'm talking about. So there's like, I just keep having these moments where, like, every time I stop focusing on the problem, I stop focusing on the pain, and I stop focusing on just me, and, you know, just all this, you know, all that, and I look at Him, it's just extraordinary what happens. And it's just like somebody has taken this magic eraser and just completely wiped away everything. And the last one that I can recall in this moment that happened was a few days ago in the ShopRite. We left here, actually, from Wednesday youth group, and my daughter had to drop me off in front of the store because I cannot go shopping. She goes shopping for me. My daughters do all that because my belly is on the wheel now, and I just can't be upright. I can't do a whole lot of walking, and it's just too heavy. And I have, like, on this big, thick belt that can only do but so much and all for support. And so she drops me off in the front of the store. I'm like, I'm gonna go in because we only have a few items to get. I'm just gonna do it. And so I go into the store and I'm fine at first, but then I started feeling overheated and I'm feeling like I'm gonna faint. And by the time I get to the line, I just feel like I'm gonna faint. And so I take my coat. No, I didn't even wear my coat. I'm just like kind of like standing there like, you know, and the guy's checking me out, and I don't know what he's thinking, but he's checking me out and all. And then after a while, he's like, okay, I'm going to get your bags for you, okay? And then I, by the time he said that, I'm like this on the conveyor belt. And I'm just like, okay. And then I just looked at him, and I was like, you know what? While you're bagging those groceries, let me tell you some stuff. And I just started like going, like telling him all about like his personality, who he is right now, where God wants to take him, where he can go with God, how God feels about him, just all this stuff. And the guy starts laughing. I said, no, don't interrupt. I have more to tell you. So I'm like just telling him all this stuff. By the time I finished, he's like, oh my gosh. He was like, thank you so much. This is so encouraging. Thank you for, you know, telling me this stuff. And as I left, not only did I realize I was standing upright, but I was able to walk to the car. I had absolutely no pain whatsoever. So all this to say, don't just lay down and take whatever comes your way. The word is true, okay? Jesus left nobody. Like, he didn't come, like, when somebody came up to him, and they needed healing for something that was like a natural consequence of whatever. He didn't say, well, this is from that, be on your way. He didn't do that. You know, he healed them all. And so healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
Take it, eat it, it's yours. You know, don't let it just grow moldy. You know, like, seriously, take it.
Yes.
So that's it.
Amen.
So let me just ask you this. What have you been learning about, you know, declarations and what you speak that's helped you get to this place?
That was another thing the Lord did with me. I love how when you start to have an intimate relationship with Him, it's a thing of like you can just interject. I may not even be talking to Him, thinking about Him in that moment, but He'll just say, hey. Like when I was getting in the car and it was hurting, I was focused on the pain. I was not thinking about the Lord, not at all. But He's like, what are you looking at? And I heard Him. And I believe the Lord is speaking all the time. I don't for a moment believe when people say, oh, well, He doesn't speak to me. No, I'm sorry, you're just not hearing Him.
That's right.
You know? And so He spoke to me one day at one night, 3:30 in the morning. He was telling me to use this muscle lotion that I make. And so I used it and it helped with the pain. And then He told me to just start declaring. And I sat up with Him hollering, laughing at 3:30 in the morning, just making declarations. I was like, I don't care. I'm talking to my friend. I was like, I don't care that you're 4'10". You will be strengthened daily. You will carry this and you will be fine. And right now I have no pain whatsoever. And this is not normal either for now. But it's just like, it's just been amazing. I was just telling my body what it's going to do. And I was like, we will go full term. We will not have any foolishness, and we haven't. There has been no complications whatsoever, and this is after 5 consecutive miscarriages. And I was told by the Lord, do not go and see a specialist. Do not go and what He told me, trust me and live. And that's exactly what I did. Wow. And here we are. Like, I was not able to sustain one, and like seriously, you know, that's just God. It's just God.
So cool. And the thing that I'm so excited about with her as an example, right? And we're all learning this, right? The Lord really has us zeroing in on declarations for this year. You know, how to really move in that level of authority of what He wants us to speak, because we have that as a, you know, as a privilege that we can speak the things that He shows us. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I realize that for a lot of us, when we approach this idea of declarations, first of all, let me just say this. You know, we're in a season now that the Lord showed me about 4 or 5 years ago. And the season is absolutely shifting out of an old covenant mindset when it comes to our praying into the new covenant authority that we have. For many, many years, and I know you understand what I'm saying, that for many years when we prayed, it would be, oh God, would you please do this? God, we beg you, we call upon you. And we would pray from a posture of trying to convince God to do something for us. And the Lord, about 5 years ago, began to show me that that's not how it works under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, I call you to be co-equal heirs with me, partners with me in what I want to do. Yet for many of us, we still have in the back of our mind and our thinking, you know, that somehow we've got to get it just right. My declaration's got to be just right. I got to be speaking things just right, in the right way, the right time, the right frequency. You know, we still have a vestige, many of us may have maybe more than a vestige, of this idea that we're still out trying to convince God to do what we're saying. And I want to just address that for a couple of minutes before we worship tonight, because that is absolutely wrong, okay? Whatever it is that we need, whatever it is that is, you know, something that we're looking to see change, it's already been provided for. It's absolutely already been provided for. How do I know? Well, how about we go to the Bible and we look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." Now, I don't know if you noticed, but that's in the past tense. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That means right now, every single situation, circumstance, problem, need that any of us have, it's already been provided for by the Lord. Do you see that? Okay? So, in no way are we trying to convince God to do something for us, because He's already done whatever is necessary for us. He has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You need to be healed? It's already been provided for. You don't need to ask God or beg God or plead with God for your healing. The Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed. Do you need provision in your life? Oh God, you know I need this, I need extra money, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? He knew about that need 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And so for us in this season, what we're learning is how to simply come into agreement with His heart for us. And to align what we think, what we believe, what we say with what He's promised. It's that simple. My declarations are not made to try to convince Him to do what I'm saying. My declarations are made because He's already provided it, and I'm just simply declaring my agreement. And in the process, we get to see that manifest. See, because the blessings that God has set aside for us, that He's provided for us, Paul says that they are spiritual blessings, which means they're located in the heavenlies. They're located in that spiritual realm. They're not here yet. But we've been given this task that Jesus said, I'm calling on you, my disciples, to declare as in heaven, so on earth. Right? Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come, now, as in heaven, so on the earth. Our declarations are made from that perspective, right? And so when Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians and writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? Let's just really quickly, before we worship, I want you to look at this this verse or this passage here in Ephesians 1. I'm going to read to you the prayer that IHOP wrote.
Stop.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Ephesians 1. I thought that would get a bigger laugh. I'm sorry. See, I don't even know why I don't do jokes. Thank you, Anna. Those with the history in IHOP know what I'm talking about, okay? Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 were the foundational scriptural prayers that the International House of Prayer was founded on. So, he prays this in verse 15, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Okay? Here's what he talks to the Lord about. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." That's Jesus, right? "That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe." Now, what you notice here, he's not asking God to give us any of this. Instead, he's saying, "Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes so they see what's actually theirs in Christ." Right? He says, "That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that..." Well, let me go back up a little bit, because I love this part. He's asking the Father, really, to give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. That's the only thing he asks for, other than the eyes being enlightened. Do you know what that means? I used to think that, oh, that must be one of the seven spirits of God or something like that. No. A spirit in this context, it is a controlling, motivating value that you hold. In other words, something that is so important, it's absolutely non-negotiable. I'll never back away. And Paul here is asking God to give us that kind of a value for what? For wisdom and for revelation. So what is he saying? He's saying that if we will posture ourselves before the Lord to say, "You know what? The only thing that matters to me is that I know your wisdom. I know what's right and wrong according to you. And that I have the revelation of Jesus. I have a value for knowing Jesus." Why? Because you know what? Jesus is the sum and substance of who we are. If you're born again, you're one with Him. And so His characteristics are our characteristics. So when we declare, "I am a son or daughter of God, you know, I'm anointed of the Holy Spirit, I am authorized to do all these different things that the Bible says I'm authorized to do," I'm not saying that in order to make it happen. I'm saying it because it's already true. It's already true. Why? Because Jesus is in me. And I'm getting revelation about who He is and who I am in Him. And you know what? I have a value for that. I have a passionate value for more revelation about who Jesus is and who He is in me, which means who I am in Him. And I have a value for the wisdom that He wants to impart to me. Do you know that wisdom is the only thing that matters to the Lord right now in your life? If you're a born-again believer, the only thing that matters to the Lord is, are you receiving my wisdom and walking in it? Because the wisdom of God is what will lead you along the paths of righteousness, will lead you into the abundant life that the Lord offers us. So I want to encourage you today that it's time to move from a posture, if you still have some of that posture in you, of, "Oh Lord, I hope I get these declarations right so you'll do something." Okay? We're absolutely not trying to convince Him. We're simply asking Him to show us what's ours in Christ.
Well,
What is ours in Christ? And what does Paul say? The hope of your calling. You know what the hope of your calling is? The hope of your calling is to become as fully like Christ as you can while you're here on the earth. That's a pretty good hope, isn't it? Paul put it another way in Colossians. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Then he says, he wants that we would understand and see the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you tonight that you are going to learn in this season how to appreciate the rich deposit of God in your brothers and sisters. You are going to come out of your place of isolation because the Holy Spirit is going to show you that you need to be connected with the right people. And I emphasize the right people. Don't you dare connect with anybody unless he shows you who to connect with. Because there's still too many people out there that will use that connection for their own selfish purposes. So it's time for you to recognize that your greatest days are ahead, but only if you connect in the body of Christ with the tribe that will believe in you, will support you, will celebrate you, and won't let you slip back into your old junk that you did before. Right? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's you and I. And then finally, that we would know and have revelation on the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. And you know, I'll be honest with you, this is one that I'm just starting to press into. I've been really focused a lot on authority over these past number of years. But I've realized just this week, I haven't really been paying too much attention to the power aspect. I don't know, maybe you have. But I love how the Lord opens up these things to us and says, let's deal with that next. Ooh, yeah. So what does that mean? The surpassing greatness of his power? Well, he compares it to what God did when he raised Jesus from the dead. How many of you think that's a pretty good display of power? You see, the resurrection of Jesus was not like any other resurrection. You know why? Because the resurrection of Jesus was opposed and hindered by the entirety of hell itself. All of the forces of darkness were arrayed against the resurrection of Jesus. That doesn't happen with just any old person that, you know, you try to raise from the dead. This was the epic battle of all eternity. And God's surpassing power that raised Jesus from the dead in the midst of that circumstance is what we carry on the inside. On the inside of us, we're wall-to-wall Holy Spirit in your spirit man. You have every single aspect of God's power, of his authority dwelling in you. We just haven't learned how to function in it, have we? We're learning. And I'm telling you, I'm loving the journey. I am absolutely loving the journey. And so I encourage you guys tonight, see what it is that the Lord is showing you that he wants you to come into agreement with concerning his provision, those blessings that have been already provided for, already reserved for us in the heavenly places. Do you go to heaven regularly? I love going to heaven. The Lord, I'm already seated in Christ in heavenly places, so I need you to show me what's going on. Because I want to bring that to earth. It's fun. It is absolutely fun. And so, again, I encourage you tonight. We're really moving into this season where it's going to become very easy to see what he's showing us, to hear what he's saying to us. And just as our sister Patrice shared tonight, she just simply began to declare over her body what God had already provided for her in the heavenlies. See, that blessing of no pain in pregnancy, do you know where that comes from? It comes from the reversal of the curse that was placed on women at the fall. Jesus has reversed every curse. So women can absolutely trust God and declare for a pain-free, no complication pregnancy. And she's learned how to do that. She's learned how to take that blessing from the heavenlies and apply it to her own body and see it manifest. Come on. Don't you want to do that? Let's do that. Let's learn how to. Let's get good at that.